seen are being curtailed on the specious claims of voter fraud. So, we see states passing voter ID laws and other hurdles, even though the truth is that in-person voting fraud is so rare as to be statistically non-existent. The real danger to the sanctity of the vote lies in suppression. Our time is up for today. I hope you will join me next time when we continue with What Unites Us, Reflections on Patriotism by Dan Rather and Elliot Kirshner. I am Bill Davis for GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for being a GARS listener.
That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us for the Noon Book Hour. We hope you'll join us again Monday for our next installment from the Recording Library of West Texas.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 36 and mostly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-30s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-40s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your coronavirus update for Friday, January 8th, 2021. From the Recording Library of West Texas, I'm Michael. We have a very busy program today. We have lots of news on the vaccine front. We have some different areas to look at from the scientific angles, as well as the vaccine rollout in particular in Texas. So we have many articles to read, some short and some longer. So we may well go about an hour long today in this broadcast because there is just so much to inform you about this afternoon. Here are some of the articles that we're going to be reading. The pandemic isn't slowing down as U.S. reports record high of deaths. Here's where things stand. Millions of doses of the COVID-19 vaccines are rolling out. Here's why you could still get infected. Biden will aim to release every available COVID-19 vaccine dose when he takes office, breaking from Trump. Pfizer BioNTech vaccine makers encouraged by study that shows vaccine appears to work against variants. If necessary, second Pfizer dose can be 6 weeks after first, the World Health Organization says. Allergic reactions to the coronavirus vaccine are rare and outweighed by benefit of protection, CDC finds. Shellfish allergies are no reason to skip COVID-19 vaccine, FDA official says. Post-infection coronavirus immunity usually robust after 8 months, study shows. And then these Texas articles from the Texas Tribune. There are far more Texans eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine than doses available. Here's what you need to know about getting one. About 200,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses will be shipped next week to Texas, mostly for large vaccination hubs. More than two dozen of Texas's rural hospitals haven't received any COVID-19 vaccines. Texas House Democrats ask Governor Greg Abbott to overhaul COVID-19 vaccine distribution process. An analysis by Ross Ramsey, a frustrating vaccine rollout in Texas that should have been smoother. And already in crisis, Texas hospitals treat record numbers of COVID-19 patients while preparing for another post-holiday surge. First, checking the numbers, again from the Odessa American, they report that Ector County's COVID-19 numbers were last updated Tuesday, December 29th, so we're at those same numbers we've been reading all week. The Midland Reporter-Telegram reports that city officials announced another COVID-related death, the 8th Midland County death reported this week and the 193rd since the beginning of the pandemic. The city reported the 193rd death was a male in his 70s with underlying conditions. He died December 30th. The Midland Health Department also reported 83 unconfirmed COVID-19 cases on Wednesday, bringing the total this week in Midland County to 499 and the total during the pandemic to 14,096. Here are the Texas numbers from the Texas Tribune. Average new cases increased by 4,795 cases compared with the 7-day average a week ago. On January 7th, 19,598 new confirmed cases and 4,320 new probable cases were reported. Hospitalizations increased by 1,516 patients compared with a week ago. As of January 7th, 13,784 Texans are hospitalized for the coronavirus. Average new deaths increased by 38 deaths compared with the 7-day average in Texas a week ago. On January 7th, 393 new deaths were reported in Texas. Now, here are just a couple of coronavirus briefs. Moderna's CEO said Thursday that the company's vaccine is likely to provide protection for a couple of years. The human body typically retains a robust immune response to the coronavirus for at least 8 months after an infection, and potentially much longer, according to a new study in the journal Science. Now, here are several short articles. The pandemic isn't slowing down as U.S. reports record high number of deaths. Here's where things stand. From CNN's Amanda Watts and Elise Hammond. The pandemic in the U.S. is showing no signs of slowing down. Yesterday, sobering numbers marked the highest single day of reported COVID-19 deaths and the second highest single day of new cases. The nation is currently at its highest peak for average daily new cases, average daily deaths, and average number of current hospitalizations, even while testing remains well below its pre-holiday peak. Here's a look at where things stand in the U.S. Deaths. The U.S. reported more than 4,000 COVID-19 deaths on Thursday, according to Johns Hopkins University data. The nation had never reached that milestone in a single day previously. There is an average of 2,764 reported deaths per day, Johns Hopkins University data shows. This metric is also at a record high. In Los Angeles County, one person now dies of COVID-19 every 8 minutes. New cases. At least 40 states are showing upward trends in COVID-19 cases this week compared to the previous week. Additionally, 34 states had a daily positivity over 10% over the last 7 days. The U.S. saw at least 274,703 new cases on Thursday, according to Johns Hopkins University. That's the second highest single-day increase since the beginning of the pandemic. The country is averaging about 228,497 new COVID-19 cases per day, which is up 22% from the previous week, Johns Hopkins University data shows. Hospitalizations. There were at least 132,370 people reported to be in the hospital on Thursday, according to the COVID Tracking Project data. This is the second highest number of current hospitalizations and the 37th consecutive day that metric has stayed above 100,000 people. Every single southern state has seen hospitalizations rise significantly since the middle of last month, and 13 states in the South set new records for COVID-19 hospitalizations in the past 7 days, according to CTP. Vaccines. So far, there have been at least 21,419,800 vaccine doses distributed across the U.S. and at least 5,919,418 vaccine doses administered, according to the CDC. Across the U.S., the ratio of doses administered to doses delivered is at about 27.6%. Only three states have administered more than 50% of the doses they were distributed, according to the CDC. Millions of doses of the COVID-19 vaccines are rolling out. Here's why you could still get infected, from CNN's Eric Levinson. On December 18th, a San Diego emergency room nurse was given a shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. A week later, he tested positive for the virus, CNN affiliate KGTV reported. Stories like this will become more common as millions of Americans are administered the Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna vaccines over the coming months. Over time, many who are vaccinated will still get infected with the novel coronavirus. But the vaccines have been shown to be 95% effective. So how can this happen? Here's why. Immunity doesn't kick in right away. It takes time for vaccines to build up immunity. And the two authorized coronavirus vaccines both require two shots given several weeks apart to train the body's immune system. People can be exposed to the coronavirus right before being vaccinated or right after, and there won't be time for the body to develop its defenses. Vaccines might not provide perfect protection. No vaccine is 100% effective, and the makers of coronavirus vaccines are still evaluating whether the shots protect against all infections or just those that cause symptoms. The CDC estimates that 40% of people who test positive don't have symptoms. It's not because the vaccine gave you the virus. The current coronavirus vaccines cannot infect anyone with the virus. They don't contain the virus. Instead, they carry a small stretch of genetic material known as messenger RNA or mRNA that tells your body how to fight COVID-19. Others might not be safe from you. People who are themselves immune to the virus might be exposed to it and transmit it to others. It can grow in the nose, says Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And here's a big story that is developing today. Biden will aim to release every single available COVID-19 vaccine dose when he takes office, breaking from Trump, from CNN's Sarah Murray. President-elect Joe Biden will aim to release every available dose of the coronavirus vaccine when he takes office, a break with the Trump administration's strategy of holding back half of U.S. vaccine production to ensure second doses are available. What this means: releasing all vaccine doses on hand could quickly ratchet up the availability of coronavirus vaccines by allowing more people access to a first dose. It could also be a risky strategy, as both Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna's vaccines require two doses administered at specific intervals, and vaccine manufacturing has not ramped up as rapidly as many experts had hoped. The president-elect believes we must accelerate distribution of the vaccine while continuing to ensure the Americans who need it most get it as soon as possible. He supports releasing available doses immediately and believes the government should stop holding back vaccine supply so we can get more shots in Americans' arms now, said T.J. Ducklow, a spokesperson for Biden's transition. He will share additional details next week on how his administration will begin releasing available doses when he assumes office on January 20th. The comment from Biden's transition comes after a group of governors wrote a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and Operation Warp Speed Chief Operating Officer General Gustav Perna, pressing the federal government to distribute reserve doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to states that need them. Our states are ready to work around the clock to ramp up distribution, get more shots in arms, and save more American lives. General Perna, as you have stated before, a vaccine sitting on a shelf is not effective, the letter reads. We couldn't agree with you more. That's why we are asking for your help right now. When we work together, we can end this pandemic and return to a life of normalcy sooner. The Trump administration has insisted it's necessary to hold back doses to ensure Americans who received the first course of the two-dose vaccine will be sure to have access to a second dose. but the move has sparked a debate about whether a better strategy would be releasing all available doses as quickly as possible, particularly amid rising death and hospitalization rates. A study published Monday in the Annals of Internal Medicine also found that administering first doses of a COVID-19 vaccine to more individuals instead of withholding available supply for use as a second dose may reduce the number of new cases. Operation Warp Speed is continuing to ensure second doses are available to vaccine administration sites at appropriate intervals as directed by jurisdiction leaders, said a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services. We would be delighted to learn that jurisdictions have actually administered many more doses than they are presently reporting. We are encouraging jurisdictions to expand their priority groups as needed to ensure no vaccine is sitting on the shelf after having been delivered to the jurisdiction-directed locations. The spokesperson also noted the U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently reiterated the importance of requiring two doses for both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. More on the vaccines. The vaccines by Pfizer-BioNTech and Moderna are both about 95% effective after two full doses. Earlier this week, two top officials from the FDA said anyone who receives those vaccine needs both doses, dismissing the idea of stretching the supply by allowing just one dose or cutting doses in half. They also dismissed other ideas for stretching the vaccine supply and said people who are speculating about the possibility of making do with just one dose or cutting doses in half are misinterpreting the data. We have been following the discussions and news reports about reducing the number of doses, extending the length of time between doses, changing the dose, half dose, or mixing and matching vaccines in order to immunize more people against COVID-19. FDA Commissioner Dr. Stephen Hahn and Dr. Peter Marks, who heads FDA's vaccine division, said in a statement, "These are all reasonable questions to consider and evaluate in clinical trials. However, at this time, suggesting changes to the FDA-authorized dosing or schedules of these vaccine is premature and not rooted solidly in the available evidence. Without appropriate data supporting such changes in vaccine administration, we run a significant risk of placing public health at risk, undermining the historic vaccination efforts to protect the population from COVID-19, they added. Hahn and Marks also said the data supports giving the second dose of each vaccine at the specified interval, 21 days after the first dose for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, and 28 days after the first dose of the Moderna vaccine. According to the study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine on Monday, by reducing the amount of the vaccine doses withheld to 10% for the first 3 weeks and supplying a steady dose of 6 million doses per week, the U.S. could avoid up to 29% more cases over 8 weeks. The U.S. government currently withholds 50% of the available vaccine supply, distributing to states and other jurisdictions weeks later to be administered as the second in a two-dose series. The researchers modeled various scenarios, with variables including vaccine supply, protection provided by the first dose, and waning efficacy of the first dose if the second dose is delayed. Only in the unlikely worst-case scenario of a collapse in supply and minimal protection among individuals who have received the first dose would the model suggest that withholding 50% of available supply provides better protection. We find that under the most plausible scenarios, a more balanced approach that withholds fewer doses during the early distribution in order to vaccinate more people as possible could substantially increase the benefits of vaccines, while enabling most recipients to receive second doses on schedule, writes the study's authors, who were supported by the Canadian Institutes for Health Research and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine makers encouraged by a study that shows vaccine appears to work against variants. From CNN Health's Jacqueline Howard. Vaccine makers Pfizer and BioNTech said on Friday They were encouraged by a new study offering early evidence that their COVID-19 vaccine might be effective against the two coronavirus variants first identified in South Africa and the United Kingdom. The study was conducted by researchers at Pfizer and the University of Texas Medical Branch, UTMB. Pfizer, BioNTech, and UTMB are encouraged by these early in vitro study findings, according to a news release from BioNTech on Friday. Further data are needed to monitor the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine's effectiveness in preventing COVID-19 caused by new virus variants. If the virus mutates such that an update to the vaccine is required to continue to confer protection against COVID-19, we believe that the flexibility of BioNTech's proprietary mRNA vaccine platform is well suited to enable an adjustment to the vaccine. If necessary, second Pfizer dose can be 6 weeks after first, World Health Organization says, by the Washington Post, Siobhan O'Grady. The time period between the first and second doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine can be up to 6 weeks, World Health Organization experts said in interim guidance issued Friday, citing available clinical trial data. The recommended waiting period between the two doses is 21 to 28 days, the Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization said, but noted that countries can opt to extend that interval when necessary. Countries experiencing exceptional epidemiological circumstances may consider delaying for a short period the administration of the second dose as a pragmatic approach to maximizing the number of individuals benefiting from a first dose while vaccine supply continues to increase, the report said. Should additional data become available on longer intervals between doses, revision of this recommendation will be considered. The guidance comes as many countries are dealing with surges in coronavirus cases and officials are rushing to immunize as many people as quickly as possible. Some countries had already issued guidance that the interval between doses could be extended. Denmark announced Monday that it would extend the period between shots to 6 weeks. On Thursday, French Health Minister Olivier Véran said at a news conference that it was possible to delay the second dose up to 6 weeks. Allergic reactions to the coronavirus vaccine are rare and outweighed by benefit of protection, CDC finds, by the Washington Post, William Wan and Joel Achenbach. Allergic reactions to coronavirus vaccinations remain rare and should not dissuade Americans from being vaccinated, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Wednesday. Of the 1.9 million people who received a shot during the first 2 weeks of vaccination, 21 experienced severe allergic reactions, according to a CDC study released Wednesday. Most of those people had a history of allergic reactions, and 20 of them have fully recovered. Given the small risk of severe allergic reaction and its treatable nature, the risk of catching the coronavirus and becoming seriously ill or dying far outweighs that of a potential allergic reaction, CDC officials said. The known and potential benefits outweigh the known and potential risk of getting vaccine. Nancy Messonnier, director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, said in a news briefing. Messonnier said CDC officials are worried about people being reluctant to be vaccinated, including healthcare workers who were in the first priority group for vaccinations. Shellfish allergies, no reason to skip COVID-19 vaccine, FDA official says, from CNN Health's Lauren Mascarenhas. People with shellfish allergies should not necessarily skip the COVID-19 vaccine, according to the director of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research. Shellfish allergies are not a reason not to get vaccinated, Dr. Peter Marks said Thursday during an event hosted by blackdoctor.org, an online health resource for African Americans. Marks advised people to let their providers know that they have a history of allergic reactions before getting vaccinated. He said a provider may monitor someone with a shellfish allergy for 30 minutes instead of the typical 15 minutes after administering the vaccine. Post-infection coronavirus immunity usually robust after 8 months, study shows, by the Washington Post, Joel Achenbach. The human body typically retains a robust immune response to the coronavirus for at least 8 months after an infection, and potentially much longer, researchers said in a study published in the journal Science. About 90% of patients studied showed lingering stable immunity, the study found. The review of blood samples from nearly 200 patients also saw that multiple elements of the immune system, not just antibodies, continued to be effective at recognizing and responding to the virus. The authors of the new study said they believed their findings would apply to the United Kingdom variant as well as the more common coronavirus. The reason? The immune responses target hundreds of different pieces of the virus, few of which are affected by the mutations seen so far. The consensus is that the coronavirus would need a tremendous number of transmission-enhancing mutations in concert to evade natural or vaccine-induced immunity. And now we have several articles from the Texas Tribune. About 200,000 COVID-19 vaccine doses will be shipped next week to Texas, mostly for large vaccination hubs. Some doses will also go to smaller providers, while hubs will set up registration phone numbers and websites to streamline distribution, according to the State Health Agency. By Karen Brooks Harper, published January 7th. Texas will get about 200,000 more doses of the COVID-19 vaccine next week, most of them earmarked for large vaccination hubs capable of vaccinating up to 100,000 people, helping streamline distribution as the number of eligible Texans grows, state officials said Thursday. These vaccination hubs will provide people in those priority populations with identifiable sites where vaccination is occurring and a simpler way to sign up for an appointment with each provider, the Texas Department of State Health Services said in a written statement. Officials warned that even after the next shipment brings the state's total allotment to 1.7 million since mid-December, the state is still far short of what it needs to vaccinate the millions of Texans currently eligible for the vaccine, and that it will take time for supply to catch up with demand. Nearly 1.4 million doses had been shipped by the end of the day Wednesday, according to state numbers. The state does not publicly report how many doses providers have received. At least 475,000 Texans have received the first dose of the vaccine, and more than 6,500 have been fully inoculated with the required two doses, according to state data, although those numbers lag behind real time because of reporting delays. A list of the large providers identified as hubs will be released later in the week, the agency said. Most of next week's allotment will go to them, but shipments will also go to some smaller providers, the agency said. The larger hubs will be required to set up registration phone numbers and websites and to concentrate their efforts on hard-hit populations in their surrounding areas, the agency said. They will be directed to continue vaccinating healthcare workers, people who are 65 and older, and those with medical conditions that increase their risk. The news comes as eligible Texans across the state scramble for answers and access to the vaccine after state officials announced in late December that hospitals should start vaccinating people who are elderly and those with underlying conditions, a group known as 1B, who did not qualify in the first round of shots reserved for healthcare workers and residents of nursing homes and long-term care facilities, a group known as 1A, if they run out of 1A people who want the shot. The 1A group includes an estimated 1.9 million people in Texas. The 1B group has an estimated 8 million people, although state officials said an undetermined of people, a number of people, fall under both groups. More than two dozen of Texas's rural hospitals haven't received any COVID-19 vaccines. Those lucky enough to be near another provider with shots available are relying on neighborly generosity, encouraged but not mandated by the state, to inoculate frontline workers while they wait. By Karen Brooks Harper, published January 8th. More than two dozen hospitals in rural Texas, from the Panhandle to South Texas, are still waiting on doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to distribute to their frontline workers and community members, hospitals and healthcare advocates say. Those that are lucky enough to be near another provider with shots available are relying on neighborly generosity, encouraged but not mandated by the state, to inoculate frontline workers who are sometimes dealing with overflow patients from urban areas alongside their own coronavirus patients. But many small rural providers don't have neighbors with doses to spare, leaving them waiting or scrambling to find vaccine for their most high-risk frontline health workers, even as other counties have reportedly distributed excess vaccine to politicians and healthy members of the public. Rural healthcare advocates say they understand that the logistics involved in the largest vaccination program in the nation's history will involve some unavoidable inequities at first, but they note that many of their communities have been disproportionately ravaged by the pandemic. "There's no question there are massive inequities in this," said Don McBeth, Director of Government Relations for the Texas Organization of Rural and Community Hospitals. "While I think state health officials have made a concerted effort and it has gotten better, the bottom line is that we still have nurses and doctors working in some rural communities around sick COVID patients, and they can't get their hands on vaccines themselves. Something's wrong." Advocates and rural hospital officials say the reasons for the lapse range from approval delays caused by technical issues with the application process to smaller providers' inability early on to use or store the Pfizer vaccine, which initially was the only vaccine available. The Pfizer vaccine can only be shipped in orders of 975 doses, way more than many small communities needed to vaccinate their frontline workers, and have to be stored in sub-zero freezers that most rural hospitals don't have. The later arrival of the Moderna vaccine, which comes in smaller batches and can be stored in standard refrigerator conditions, helped alleviate some of those challenges. But delays in shipments combined with the demand overwhelming the supply has left these hospitals without doses to distribute to their own workers or other eligible residents in their communities. Roughly 1.4 million doses have been shipped to Texas since mid-December, while more than 8 million people are in the groups that now qualify for the shots. Healthcare workers and residents of nursing homes and long-term care facilities, a group labeled as 1A, were prioritized for the first round of vaccines. People who are elderly and those with underlying conditions, a group known as 1B, were the next to be listed as eligible. The next group of eligible Texans still has not been announced. Governor Greg Abbott and the Texas Health Commissioner John Hellerstadt said in late December that they urged healthcare providers to open up their distribution to more people and keep doses from sitting on hospital shelves. Hospital administrators have said doses are being given out as fast as possible and that no doses are being unused. The irony of this process is the DSHS is pushing hospitals to get shots into arms, but it's kind of hard to do so if you don't have the vaccine, said Don Bates, CEO of Golden Plains Community Hospital in Borger, north of Amarillo. Bates's hospital has received no doses yet, but has relied on the local United Supermarket's pharmacy for getting shots to about 50 of his frontline healthcare workers who wanted it. Hutchinson County, where Golden Plains is located, is home to 21,000 people. Some 1,217 confirmed or probable COVID-19 cases have been reported in the county by state health officials. It borders Hansford County, where 642 cases have been identified as confirmed or probable, in a county of just over 5,000. In nearby Amarillo, hospital capacity is stretched, according to public health officials. The state failed to recognize that folks in rural communities travel to the larger communities, often for work, shopping, dining, conferences, and travel, Bates said. Our testing positivity rate has been just as high as some urban areas. Bates said he expresses his frustration regularly during calls with the Texas Department of State Health Services. I think sometimes the panhandle of Texas is forgotten, he said. We're treated like the proverbial red-headed stepchild. Chris Van Dusen, a DSHS spokesperson, said the agency was working with the Rural and Community Hospital Association on problems being experienced as they arise. I know there are still a number of hospitals working to complete their enrollment as a vaccine provider, he said in an emailed statement. Rural hospitals serve an important role in providing care in their communities, and we will allocate vaccine to them as they enroll. We will continue to work with Rural and Community Hospital Association and the facilities directly to help them complete that process. The state's expert vaccine allocation panel, which makes recommendations to the state on which providers get vaccines shipped to them each week, routinely discuss the need for all Texans, regardless of location, to have access to the vaccine, said Carrie Kroll, Vice President of Advocacy, Quality, and Public Health for the Texas Hospital Association, and an ad hoc consultant to the panel. Ensuring equitable distribution in terms of geography has been a priority, as has the epidemiology of the disease, including which populations are most at risk, either because of their age or health status, she said. Her organization has been advocating that rural health hospitals be included, and while they recognize the challenges, they are very concerned that some hospitals don't yet have any doses to distribute to their workers. The bottom line is that, first and foremost, all hospitals need to be able to protect and vaccinate their front lines, she said. We'd like to see doses at every hospital in Texas right now. The majority of rural hospitals in Texas, where McMeth said total 157 across the state, will have gotten at least some doses either delivered, shipped, or allocated by the end of this week. Some rural facilities, like Otto Kaiser Memorial Hospital in Karnes County, have been approved providers for weeks, but haven't received any doses to distribute yet. Otto Kaiser was approved by State Health Services on December 18th, but has yet to appear on any list for the first 4 weeks of the vaccine distribution. The hospital has instead relied on nearby providers to vaccinate its frontline workers, while officials wait their turn on a distribution list. Facilities that were sent the vaccine are not required to share with the have-nots, but the state has encouraged them to do so in order to keep pushing out the vaccine as fast as possible, said Otto Kaiser CEO David Lee. Lee said they are luckier than many to have the local HEB pharmacy and hospitals in Cuero and Floresville that were willing to help inoculate a few dozen workers at his hospital. That's kind of been their directive. When you run out of 1A frontline workers, look in the neighboring county. Look at closer facilities that might have some more names of workers who want that shot, Lee said. So I think that's what folks are doing. We're very grateful for that. The lack of vaccine doses also prevents the hospital from being able to share with its members of the community who may be eligible. Some 122 people in Karnes County, southeast of San Antonio, have received the first of the required two doses, according to DSHS. That's in a county of more than 12,500 people over age 16, where 24 people have died and 1,266 cases have been confirmed, including 45 new cases in the last 2 weeks. Cuero Regional Hospital helped vaccinate Lee's frontline workers after another local facility shared its doses with Cuero Regional, a chain of cooperation that rural communities count on as a matter of culture, with or without state directives. Citizens Medical Center, about 30 miles away in Victoria, received a large allotment of vaccines before Cuero did, and more than a dozen of Cuero's healthcare workers were able to travel there to be vaccinated, said Emily Weatherly, a spokesperson for Cuero Regional. Then, Cuero Regional, which received 200 doses of the Moderna vaccine just before Christmas, administered the vaccine to half a dozen of Lee's staffers. A hospital in nearby Floresville vaccinated the rest, Lee said. Weatherly said that although her facility has been able to vaccinate healthcare workers, the hospital is now eagerly anticipating another shipment and has set up an online form where people can sign up for a waiting list. The facility has been inundated with calls from the public, she said, but everyone is still playing the waiting game for the next round of new doses. We are at the mercy of the state, she said. Another issue outlined by hospitals is an array of delays and difficulties in the process to apply and register as a vaccine provider with the state. The process is no different for the larger or urban hospitals, but it presents a unique challenge to the smaller facilities that don't have the resources to spend what some executives said could be weeks of follow-ups to correct glitches. In some cases, administrators said their applications were rejected due to technical errors, but they were never notified, finding out on their own weeks later that they had to resubmit paperwork. Some of the problems arose from user error, like missing signatures, but the correction and notification process shouldn't take weeks in a state where hundreds of people die every day and record numbers of people are hospitalized for COVID, administrators said. Suffice it to say that DSHS has made the enrollment process more cumbersome than it needed to be, Bates said in an email to the Texas Tribune. The most ridiculous examples were first described as an enrollment system error. We later found out it was because the hospital was using Internet Explorer instead of Chrome, for real. Each time the application is corrected, it has to be signed again and then resubmitted and then is subject to approval and processing times, Bates said. Lee agreed that the process is rife with opportunities for user error, but more importantly, creates delays for strapped small hospitals trying to wade through the red tape and get their workers and residents vaccinated while also taking care of a surge of COVID-19 patients. Some application issues in early November delayed Otto Kaiser's process because it took the better part of 6 weeks to get it all fixed, in spite of the fact that we were sending frequent emails to check on status and waiting 90 minutes on hold to speak to someone, Lee said. I know that DSHS is slammed and distribution of the vaccine is a huge undertaking, he said, but the process and the associated lack of communication is hard to accept, and our healthcare workers and our community are being delayed access to the vaccine as a result. Staff writer Shannon Najmadabadi contributed to this report. And now our next article from the Texas Tribune. Texas House Democrats ask Governor Greg Abbott to overhaul COVID-19 vaccine distribution process, by Cassandra Pollack, published January 7th. A group of 38 Texas House Democrats is criticizing Governor Greg Abbott and the head of the Texas Department of State Health Services over the state's vaccination distribution rollout, calling it a source of growing confusion and frustration. The lawmakers from across the state, in a letter dated January 6th, requested that leaders make a number of changes to the process, such as ensuring that communities of color have equal access to the COVID-19 vaccine and prioritizing those who have jobs that require them to work with people outside their household. State Representative Vicki Goodwin, Democrat Austin, wrote that her office is unable to answer questions about vaccines from constituents because the state's plan conflicts with what people are actually experiencing across the state. The dearth of reliable public information leads to skepticism over the government's ability to look out for the public health, Goodwin wrote in the letter, which 37 other House Democrats signed. This sort of suspicion is not what any of us want. The vaccination rollout in Texas has been confusing so far, with medical experts and others questioning how the state plans to handle administering the vaccine to roughly 30 million people in the coming months. State officials' vague messaging on details about who is eligible to receive a vaccine and where and how to schedule a vaccination has been compounded by technical errors, logistical delays, and in some cases, supply shortages. In North Texas, a woman has launched a crowdsourcing website to help Texans know where vaccines are available by listing providers in the Dallas and Austin areas, according to KXAN. Since Carrie Craver launched the site earlier this week, KXAN reported more than 3,000 people had signed up for updates as of Tuesday. The number of vaccine doses available has fallen far short of covering those who are eligible to receive a vaccination, and state numbers showed earlier this week that under half of the vaccine doses shipped to Texans had been given out. A state panel has set those eligibility guidelines based on U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommendations. State officials said Thursday that Texas will receive roughly 200,000 more doses of the vaccine next week, which will help streamline distribution. Goodwin said a map of vaccination locations in her House district suggests that providers are less concentrated in areas with a higher percentage of people of color who have been disproportionately affected by the coronavirus, data has shown. She asked Abbott and DSHS Commissioner John Hellerstedt to take special care to distribute opportunities for vaccination widely and with an eye toward making them equally available to all Texans, regardless of racial or ethnic background. Goodwin also asked the two to prioritize vaccinations for school teachers, grocery store employees, food service workers, and others who have occupations that require them to interact with others outside their household. And she requested that state leaders better provide the legislature frequent and regular updates on the vaccination distribution plan and its implementation for lawmakers to better relay information to constituents. A spokesperson for Abbott's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The vaccines cannot be rolled out quickly and effectively unless Texans have confidence in the information they receive from DSHS, the governor, and their representatives, Goodwin wrote. Please help us work with you to ensure that Texans are vaccinated efficiently and safely. Now here's an analysis from columnist Ross Ramsey of the Texas Tribune. A frustrating vaccine rollout in Texas that should have been smoother. Published January 8th. Before you know it, attention will turn from there aren't enough vaccines for the people who want them to not all of the people who ought to be vaccinated are getting their shots. But not yet. Texans are struggling with a gaping mismatch between supply and demand, a jangle made much worse by the state's decision to open eligibility to millions more people before it had millions more doses of the vaccine. These aren't PlayStations or chess sets. The clamor for vaccines isn't a sign of commercial success. Like the waits for unemployment benefits, food banks, or COVID-19 testing, it's a sign of a pandemic that is once again overwhelming our institutions. The first shipments of vaccine landed in Texas last month, with plenty of caveats that they would only be available to frontline workers until enough were available to let the rest of us into line. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had a list: healthcare and nursing home workers first, then essential workers, followed by adults with high-risk medical conditions, and those who were 65 years or more. It started slowly and optimistically. At the same time, the pandemic numbers were rising. Cases and hospitalizations were starting to stress the state's medical infrastructure. State officials wanted to speed up vaccinations, fearing that, as Governor Greg Abbott put it in a tweet, a significant portion of vaccines distributed across Texas might be sitting on hospital shelves, as opposed to being given to vulnerable Texans. As they pushed providers to administer vaccines as quickly as possible, also urging them to use all doses in each vial before they spoil, the state also expanded eligibility for the shots to everyone in the CDC's first three groups, except for essential workers, effectively quintupling the number of Texans permitted to get into line. As state officials hoped, that speeds up the use of available vaccine. It also strains a system that wasn't ready for that kind of demand, which is why we're all hearing about doctors, clinics, drugstores, and so on without enough doses for everyone in line. The latest official declaration came Thursday from the Texas Department of State Health Services. Vaccine remains limited based on the capacity of the manufacturers to produce it, so it will take time for Texas to receive enough vaccine for the people in the priority populations who want to be vaccinated. The supply is expected to increase in the coming months, and additional vaccines are in clinical trials and may be authorized by the Food and Drug Administration. The governor has been tweeting a good game, pointing out that Texas has used a greater share of available doses, 35.5%, of about 1.4 million doses shipped, according to Bloomberg, and almost 40%, according to the state's vaccine dashboard, than some other big states. Only 28 million more Texans to go. They're opening hubs where large numbers of people could be vaccinated. More vaccines are on the way. COVID-19, in the meantime, has risen to levels even higher than the summer peaks, and health officials expect another rise following the holidays. A new coronavirus strain, one is potentially more contagious, has been reported in Harris County after cases appeared in the United Kingdom and in several other states. With a legislative session starting in less than a week, some Democratic state lawmakers are pressing the governor and state health officials to overhaul the distribution process. Texas doesn't have all the vaccine it needs, but by its own measure, it also hasn't used even half of the vaccine doses it has. It's bumpier than it ought to be, especially because the federal and state governments in charge of distributing vaccines have known for months that they'd be doing this as soon as the drugs were developed. Wouldn't you have thought developing vaccines for a novel coronavirus and in record time would be the hard part? And now our final story today is coronavirus in Texas. Already in crisis, Texas hospitals treat record number of COVID-19 patients while preparing for another post-holiday surge. By Shannon Nabjadabi, published January 7th from the Texas Tribune. Health officials in Austin are considering opening a makeshift hospital as its intensive care units fill up. Patients in North Texas are being treated in lobbies or in hallways, and hospitals around Laredo, Abilene, and College Station have three or fewer intensive care unit beds open, according to state data. A week into the new year, hospitalizations in Texas have well surpassed a deadly summer wave that overwhelmed healthcare workers in the Rio Grande Valley. Health experts have long warned of a dark winter, with a public tired of following safety precautions, a raging pandemic, and cold weather drawing people indoors where the virus can more easily spread. Add to that holiday gatherings and increased levels of travel, which health officials say are already being reflected in the growing numbers of hospitalized coronavirus patients. The dire figures come as two vaccines produced in record time have rolled out to healthcare workers in a massive undertaking so far beset by confusion and mishaps. The state has reported at least 28,545 fatalities tied to the virus. Available intensive care unit beds are at a low, and health experts say Texans can't vaccinate their way out of the current surge. On Thursday, the first known case of a new and more contagious coronavirus strain was reported in Texas. Hospitalized COVID-19 patients in Texas. Right now, probably half the patients I see never make it out of the waiting room, just because there's physically no space, and when we do have space, it's limited. Nurse staffing is also an issue, said Dr. Robert Hancock, who works at hospitals in North Texas, Amarillo, and Oklahoma. We're doing the best we can, but it's to a point where we're not providing the care we'd like to. In Central Texas, Austin area health officials forecast the region might run out of intensive care unit beds in the coming days and could start to set up a pop-up hospital as soon as this week. They erected a health facility in the Austin Convention Center as infections soared this summer, and a solicitation obtained by the Texas Tribune in June showed health officials were recruiting volunteers to provide hands-on care to COVID patients. It never took in patients. Now, the state is in surge, The state is in crisis, said Dr. Mark Escott, interim health authority for Austin and Travis County. It seems very clear to us that we are going to run out of hospital beds and that we're going to have to stretch resources in order to meet the needs of our community, he added. Some hospitals in North Texas are holding patients in emergency rooms that are not designed for long-term care because there's no space in the intensive care units, said Hancock, who is president of the Texas College of Emergency Physicians. It's nearly impossible to transfer a patient that needs more advanced or specialized care elsewhere. For those patients, you're out of luck. There's nobody that's going to accept you, he said. Hospitalizations lurched upward after Thanksgiving, worsened after Christmas, and Hancock expects the situation will continue to deteriorate for the next month. The hospitals are so crowded, he is sometimes treating patients in the lobby and then discharging them because there are no available beds. Around Fort Worth, some hospitals are running out of both intensive care unit beds and regular beds, said Dr. Justin Fairless, an emergency room doctor and an assistant professor of emergency medicine at a medical school in Fort Worth established by Texas Christian University and the University of North Texas Health Science Center. At the two hospitals where he works, there are coronavirus patients in the hallway because there's nowhere else to put them. And nursing staff who typically do administrative work are helping see patients, he said. Some healthcare workers who have the virus have returned to work because there's not enough staff, he said. They are approved to do so under Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidance that permit it after symptoms have improved and a certain number of days have elapsed. During Fairless's shift Tuesday, patients were being treated in pockets of the hospital not normally used for patient care, like a pre-operation area used by healthcare workers performing an endoscopy. He sent several patients home that ordinarily would have been admitted to the hospital because of the possible risk that they'd be exposed to the coronavirus. We're admitting patients into areas that don't typically hold patients, and on top of that, he said, adding that some are being held in the emergency room for up to 48 hours because they have nowhere else to go. The president of the Dallas-Fort Worth Hospital Council said hospitals in the area have capacity issues, staffing issues, and are anticipating another COVID-19 surge in late January. Elsewhere in Lubbock, hospitals are full, but the numbers have lessened since the area saw a crush of patients this fall. Statewide, more than a dozen regions called trauma service areas have surpassed a high hospitalizations marker that Governor Greg Abbott set out and that requires businesses there to scale back capacity to let fewer patrons in. Under Abbott's order, the business limitations kick in regions where hospitals are more than 15% full with coronavirus patients for 7 days. The number of people allowed into the businesses is reduced from 75% occupancy to 50%, and open bars must close, though many have begun to sell more food to qualify as restaurants. Hospitalized COVID-19 patients in Texas by region. A Tribune analysis found those remedies set out by Abbott have done little to quash the virus in areas already seeing hospitals fill up. In Harris County, which has had to ratchet back business capacity under Abbott's order earlier this week, Judge Lena Hidalgo said she was concerned the threshold has not yielded the necessary change in other areas. Reaching the threshold, activating the rollbacks, doesn't in and of itself change the trajectory. That's something that's in all of our hands, Hidalgo said. In the Austin-Travis County area, where there's been a 160% increase in new hospital admissions since December, Escott said he doesn't think that rollback to 50% occupancy at retail and restaurants is doing the trick. I think it was forward-thinking to set those benchmarks, but I think we have to assess the situation and identify whether or not the strategy is working or not. It's clearly not working, he said. Local officials there, he added, have reached the limits of what we can do under state law and under the executive orders. Abbott's mandates have barred local officials from taking more aggressive actions, And over the holidays, he took aim at an Austin area curfew that tried to ban late night dine-in and beverage service for a few days to lessen the virus's spread. A spokesperson for Abbott said local officials have abdicated their authority and refused to enforce existing protocols by leaving violations unpunished, further endangering the health and well-being of Texans. Increased restrictions will do nothing to mitigate COVID-19 and protect communities without enforcement, said spokesperson Renee Eads. Even in states with increased restrictions and lockdowns throughout the pandemic have done little to mitigate